overflowing with thankfulness. This family didn't allow the day's events to distract them from focusing on the Lord. Well, I've spent quite a bit of time on verses 6 and 7 because I believe that if we put these principles into practice, they will help us enormously to counter the devious influences that would distract us from Christ. And throughout this chapter, we come across some specific distractions. So let's continue reading from verses 8 to 10. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Again, we come face to face with the complete godness of Jesus Christ. Every aspect of deity, of God, can be seen in the person of Jesus. But that's not all. Those who are united with Christ are complete. Those of us who know him as Lord have everything we need for salvation and for living a life that's pleasing to him, helpful to others, and fulfilling to ourselves. One of my favorite Bible teachers is the late Warren Wiersbe. I love what he says here. A person's spiritual growth is not by addition, but by nutrition. He or she grows from the inside out. He continues, nothing needs to be added to Christ because he already is the very fullness of God. And in light of this, the Apostle Paul introduces the first of several things that can distract us from Christ. What is it? Empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense, verse 8. Now, he's not taking a swipe here at philosophy as an academic discipline. Rather, he's talking about false teaching that is devoid or empty of the truth you were taught, in verse 7. And the NIV refers to these empty philosophies as hollow and deceptive. Now, some of this false teaching might be erroneous thinking, as it says there in verse 8, or it might have a darker origin, also in verse 8, the spiritual powers of this world. Either way, such teaching does not come from Christ. But notice what else it said here. It says here, at the beginning of verse 8, don't let anyone capture you. To be captured means to be taken prisoner, to lose one's freedom. And this is a caution not to be distracted from Christ by allowing false teaching of whatever origin to capture our attention and imagination. Let's counter such distraction by continuing to nurture our relationship with Christ on a daily basis. Well, having discovered who Christ is in verse 6, he is Lord, and verse 10, head over every ruler and authority, we then come across a clear description of what Christ did in verses 11 to 15. So we'll read these now, 11 to 15. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Verse 13, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross.